Question 138. Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? John 18:34. Then Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? What the conventional church calls witnessing, the world at large calls aggravation. This is no secret. At nearly every mall in most neighborhoods, you can find these zealous witnesses seeking out someone to tell that Jesus is the Christ, in whom, if they believe, their life will be better than it is now. As they explain the benefits package to people who have not asked, they prove to be an embarrassment to those who have a true and living faith, and an irritation to those who don't. How does this approach differ from Christ's witness to the world? Did he teach that we should go and tell? What are we expected to tell? What are we not to tell? Let's look at some examples of instruction given in the Scriptures. Matthew 8:4, And Jesus said unto him, a man that he had just healed of leprosy, See thou tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Matthew 16:20, Then charged he disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Mark 7:36, And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. Mark 8:30, And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. Mark 9:9, And as they came down from the mountains, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. Luke 5:14, And he charged them to tell no man. Luke 8:56, And, after raising a girl from the dead, her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Luke 9:21, And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, that Jesus was the Son of God. Then we look at this exchange with Peter. And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. The difference becomes obvious. How many of us have ever been instructed in conventional evangelism not to tell others that Jesus was the Son of God? Yet, over and over, Jesus said just that. But why? The key can be found in his statement to Peter, For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. This revelation is what Jesus came to discover in the heart of man. He did not come to put this knowledge in man's heart, nor to reveal himself to mankind. He came to discover those to whom the Father had revealed the truth. He explains his mission to Pilate in no uncertain terms. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Our mission, too, is to bear witness to truth. We cannot truthfully witness that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, nor are we able to go about trying to prove that, quote, fact to an unbelieving world. Nor are we to bear witness that he is alive and well, unless you have seen him in the flesh. But we should bear witness to truth. Bearing witness to truth is something we can do. We should witness to truth in our speech, in our life, in our doctrine, in our worship, our work, our business, and our family. We should bear witness to what is true and right, and let God the Father reveal that Jesus Christ is the Son of God to whomsoever he wills. When someone is visited by the Father, and he reveals Christ Jesus as Messiah to him, it shows many things to the one who understands his plan. It shows that God has chosen that one to be a part of his kingdom. We're not to compel folks to choose Jesus, for Jesus said, "You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Also, when the Father reveals Christ, it shows a supernatural link has occurred, not mental assent or a fact accepted in evidence, but a spiritual awareness made real to the recipient of grace by God himself. When revelation is this deep, as it should be, it's not soon shaken when harder times come. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. Unfortunately, we've all become victim to one degree or another of this zealous teaching and arbitrary revealing of Christ. Many things we think we believe, we've only been taught. How many things do we practice? How many things do we believe that have been placed in us by habit, tradition, example, custom? How many things that we believe can we say we know that flesh and blood did not reveal, but the Father in heaven? The truth is, if we'd not been taught many of the things we believe, we wouldn't believe them, because they were never revealed to us by the Father. On the other hand, there are things that you know within you that you've never been taught, but you cannot shake. No matter how much you're taught otherwise, you can't seem to reverse the revelation in your heart. These are things that have been revealed to you. They've been made real to you. And you know that you know, even though you've never been shown evidence for it, or even after you're shown evidence to the contrary. That's the revelation we need to seek for all spiritual truth, all doctrine, all principles of life and living, and all relationships. As this awareness of God's voice is honed and sharpened to a fine edge, you can look forward to daily revelation to guide you through the maze of life and find victorious living a reality. Direct revelation from the Father is the most important element in your walk with Christ. To discover and establish whence and what is revealed to you is a great way to evaluate the depth and breadth of your Christian life, respectively. To recognize, identify, and eliminate what has not been revealed to you is a great way to avoid heresy, false doctrine, and misdirection. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to convince the world and to call the Father's children. Jesus was always looking for one to whom the Messiah had been revealed. Jesus sought out the ones to whom this had been revealed. He didn't want that plan to be fouled up by overzealous people going around convincing the world that he was Messiah. If they would keep his secret, only the Father could reveal the truth of Jesus' identity. Remember, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him." His question to Pilate was no different than his question to Peter earlier, "Whom say ye that I am?" He wondered if his Father had revealed this truth to Pilate. So he asked, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee?" The source of the knowledge is more important than the knowledge itself. Has Christ been revealed to you, or did someone tell you that he was the Messiah? Jesus said, "Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." Have you heard his voice? Or does your revelation of Christ only go back to a human voice? Is your faith one of education or revelation? When you confess, as Peter did, that Jesus is the Son of God, is the conclusion to which you've come a deduction at which you've arrived, or is it a revelation from the Father? When you witness to the world that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee?